Like to call the meeting of the Design Review Board for Tuesday, September 9th, 2014 to order and ask for a roll call, please.
Member Branch? Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Hyman? Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Smith?
Here.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Here.
Chair Wignott?
Here. Please stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We'll go then to item B on our administrative agenda. B1, the meeting minutes for August 26, 2014 for review and approval. Do we have a motion for approval?
I'll move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I just have one addition on page 6. Down at the bottom of the page where I reported that both Member Carroll and Member Branch recused themselves from this item, after the word item, if we could add, as the applicant is a client of both their firms, just to clarify the reason for the recusal. Any further discussion? So I'll call the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
No, abstain.
Okay, one, four ayes and one abstention. Thank you. We'll go then to item B2, the planning director report. Mary?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. So we have two items to report. One is the Westar OSP that you approved at your last meeting that has been appealed to the Planning Commission. So just as informative for you that application has been appealed, or that project has been appealed. And another item, we just got word that the city received a TIGER grant, and the TIGER grant stands for Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery Grant, for $700,000 for the Old Town Corridor Plan. And that, I'll just read that to tell you what that is. The corridor plan includes evaluating the Hollister Avenue corridor in Old Town Goleta for transportation, parking, multimodal, safety, complete streets, and drainage needs. And it was also originally identified in the County of Santa Barbara's Old Town Revitalization Plan. So that's exciting news. And that's all for the report.
Chair, I did have a question.
Yeah, I had a question also. Let's take yours first, Member Shaler.
In regards to that appeal, can it be divulged who is appealing this?
It is Camino Real Marketplace and some of the residents, five other residents that signed the appeal application. that are neighbors across from the Westar project.
Thank you.
And,
excuse me.
My question was kind of further to that. Do we have an idea when the Planning Commission would be hearing that appeal, number one, and would it be helpful if a member or members of the DRP attended that meeting?
We are looking at October. There's two meetings in October. We're targeting October 13th, depending on what other agenda items. And I would have to get back to you. I'm not quite sure what the protocol for that would be.
Okay.
And we can report to you at the next meeting.
At the September 23rd meeting.
September 23rd, yes.
That would be good if you would do that, please.
And that doesn't affect the item that's on the calendar today, item H1?
No, it doesn't. That's a separate.
Right, that's separate.
Yeah.
Very good. So then we'll go to item C, review of agenda and projected agenda.
Okay. So we have everything on the agenda today is going before the board. Item H1, there is a request for continuance to your next meeting.
All right.
And then your next meeting is September 23rd.
Okay. So we need a motion to continue that to September 23rd.
I'll make the motion.
Would someone like to second that?
I'll second it.
All right, motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Carries unanimously. So then we're down to item D, public comment. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Is there any member of the public that would like to comment at this time? Seeing no one, we'll go to our consent calendar, item E1. And Madam Secretary, if you could read the item, please.
Item E1 on the consent calendar is the Minier Edition, 5694 Via Salerno, case number 14051-DRB.
Thank you. I did the consent review of this item. I talked with Planner Brian Ifield a little earlier today. Last meeting, we gave the item preliminary approval with no comments. There's been no appeal. There's been no change in what was previously submitted, so I'm recommending a final approval on consent. So I would make that motion.
I will second that.
All right, you have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We'll go next to our assigned calendar item, F1.
Thank you, Chair Wignott. As the only available member of the assigned subcommittee, I looked at item F1, 5755 Hollister, the fuel depot signage, case number 14067-DRB. This is a gas station at the corner of Hollister and Rutherford in Old Town, and they have an existing pole sign, and they want to change out the sign to something. It's identical to the fuel depot sign that we approved for the station on Fairview. It's going to be it's their logo, which is a dark blue background, and the logo itself is in yellow and red. The background is opaque at night, and the only thing illuminated is the logo itself. And then down below, instead of the conventional stick-on letters or stick-on numbers where they put the fuel prices, it's being switched to a red LED display. This is identical to the one that we had approved on Fairview. And after looking at it, I judge that I would recommend for final approval for this. So I would like to make the motion.
And I did ask at the sign calendar if noticing had gone out to people in the immediate vicinity, and the answer was yes, and there had been no comments from neighbors. So you're making a motion to approve the item. I would second that.
Thank you.
And I'll call the question.
All sure, one question. Just wondering if there's any applicable Old Town design guidelines that speak to signage.
I think the thing that governs this case is the pole sign, which is I believe is grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. I think for specifics, our planner here can probably fill you in.
Michael, you may add something to the discussion, hopefully. Or this one here.
Yes. Hello? Okay. Yeah, there are Goleta Old Town Heritage District architecture and design guidelines. And there's a section in there that also speaks to signage, and it meets those guidelines.
All right. So call the motion. All in favor for final approval, which is the appeal point, signify by saying aye.
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 And I will need to recuse myself as the applicant is a client of mine.
As will I.
So we have four ayes and two recusals?
Yeah.
And motion carries. Then we'll go on to, thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
We'll go on to item G, which is a discussion item. And Madam Secretary, if you'd read the item, please.
Thank you. Item G1 is the Village at Los Caneros project, located north of 110 6-71 South Los Canaris Road, case number 10-043 DRB.
Mr. Chair, board members, if I may, this item's here for you as a discussion item to give you background. This is a big project. You saw some of the board members did not review the project when it was once before you. It will be coming to you at your next meeting for preliminary. So today, if you can, because this project was not noticed, if you can keep your comments to more questions for clarification and not in terms of design review.
All right.
Chair, I had a question as well.
I think we may have a...
I need to recuse myself as the applicant dealing with the affordable portion of this project is a client of mine.
Okay. Thank you. And you'll be exiting the building. All right. So we'll see you next time. All right. So turn it over to the planner. Welcome. You might have to use that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair and board members. As was introduced, this is the Village at Los Canaros project. This project was approved by the City Council on July 15th, 2014. And as a part of the review process, the project was reviewed by DRB for conceptual review five different times, both in 2010 and 2011. On January 25th, 2011, it received a conceptual approval. The applicant has submitted a request for preliminary approval review, which is scheduled for the September 23rd DRB agenda. Since the DRB last reviewed the project on January 25th, 2011, both staff and the applicant felt like that it would be helpful and beneficial to have some background and an update of the project brought before you before the actual September 23rd preliminary review. So as Mary mentioned, this is just an informational item and no action is requested at this time. So for the project description, the residential part of the project includes the construction of 465 residences, 56 of those are detached single-family units, 166 townhome and condominium units, 99 units either in a tri- or fourplex configuration, 74 market-rate apartments, and 70 affordable apartment units on a total of approximately 43 acres, which is currently vacant. The project is located on Los Canaros Road, which is bound to the north by Highway 101 and to the east by Los Canaros and to the south by Los Canaros, and the west is bound by the Tecolotito Creek. The project includes a bridge that will be going across Tecolotito Creek, which will provide vehicular, bicycle, and pedestrian access between the proposed Village Way and the eastern terminus of Cortona Drive. In addition to the 465 units, there are recreational amenities, which include a public bike trail across the property, 0.89-acre community recreation center with a communal recreation building, two pools, a spa, a tot lot, open play area for the project residents, as well as a 4.82-acre neighborhood park that will be accessible to the general public. Access to the residences will be provided at three different locations. Two of them are new roadway connections that connect to Los Canaros Road. One is at the eastern boundary, which is via an extension of Calle Corral into the project site, and one is at the southwest boundary. The southwest boundary connection will just be a right turn in and right turn out only. The third access will be from the west side of the project site, and that will be via the new bridge over Tecolotito Creek and connecting to the eastern Cortona Drive, to the existing Cortona Drive. Water will be provided by the Goleta Water District and sewer service by Goleta West Sanitary District. The project includes landscaping, utilities, exterior street and building lighting, and on-street and off-street surface parking with additional garage parking for certain unit types for a total of 1,108 parking spaces. As originally presented in 2010 and 2011, the project architectural style is California coastal and features a mix of earth tone, stucco, and stone exterior, pitched roofs, heavy exterior wood beams supported by wood corbels and wrought iron accents. The building heights range from 26 to 35 feet. A maximum of 35 feet is permitted in the PRD zoning district. Preliminary landscape plan was presented for the residential project site, which includes a mix of trees, shrubs, vines, ground cover, and lawns. Landscaped and open areas total 21.11 acres. The final landscape plan will be reviewed at the September 23rd DRB meeting. So since the 2011 conceptual approval, there have been several changes to the project. At that time, there were only 428 residential units proposed. That has increased to 465 units now. The change in the number of the units primarily occurred in the southwestern portion of the site, where a portion of the previous two-story townhome product was replaced with podium-style condominium flats. These condominium units are stacked in three stories in multi-unit buildings constructed over shared semi-subterranean parking garages. Another change to the project that just really happened at the City Council meeting was the requirement for a 100-foot setback from the existing creek, from the top of Creek Bank to the proposed development, is now included in the project. Originally proposed was for portions to just be reduced down to a 50-foot buffer, and now it is maintaining the full 100-foot buffer. Also, what was added to this project was the Campus Point Business Park. In order to construct the proposed access road that's the extension of the Cayo Corral project, Cayo Corral Street into the project site, some changes needed to be made to the existing parking lot at the Campus Point Business Park. So the change in the site plan requires landscaping and parking lot changes to the existing Campus Point Business Park. There are not going to be any changes to the two buildings that exist today. As mentioned in my staff report, these changes were approved by the City Council as part of the Village at Los Caneros project and will be included as part of the preliminary review to be conducted by the DRB on September 23rd. So these changes include, there are some minor boundary changes, as I mentioned, in order to accommodate the new road. There will be parking changes associated with the parking lot for building at 71 South Los Caneros Road, which includes adding 125 spaces to the existing 208 spaces for a new total of 333 parking spaces. And 138 parking spaces will be added to the property located at 1 South Los Caneros Road, resulting in a total of 338 parking spaces. As part of the approvals granted by the City Council, modifications to allow parking in the front and side yard setback areas, and a slight reduction in the amount of landscaping provided at the property at 71 South Los Caneros Road, which is down to 29.5% is provided and 30% was required. And also a modification to landscaping in the rear and side yard setback areas are also included. For the next steps for this project, we will be coming back on September 23rd, as mentioned, for a preliminary review of the project. All of the plans and staff report will be provided approximately a week before that hearing date. Preliminary approvals requested by the applicant, and the preliminary review will be noticed in accordance with the DRB bylaws. After that, then, once all of the preliminary approval conditions of approval have been met, then the project will come back to the DRB for final approval. Okay. That concludes my report, and we have the applicants here who have brought some of the drawings to go through the project. I think you can hand those out, Rob. And I'm available to answer any questions as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Site plan idea.
over one, or if we're okay.
So we'll give the applicant an opportunity to introduce himself and the applicant team that we have today for the meeting.
Certainly. Does that work? Hi, I'm Scott Stone. I'm with Comstock Homes. I'll be the senior project manager for the as the project continues through. And we also have with us our civil engineer, Robert Schmidt with Penfield & Smith, and Phil Suiting, our landscape architect, as well as our manager, David LaLetta, who's more familiar with the project and can help answer some of the transitional questions as the project evolved.
I'm with also Comstock Homes, okay. and brought it through this last year of entitlement processing with Kathy Allen.
Could you kind of walk us through? I know Kathy, I'm sorry, pardon me, had walked us through verbally in words of what the changes had been since we last saw this. Is there any way you folks could kind of walk us through and point, show us where the additional units have been incorporated, changes to landscaping, parking, that sort of thing?
Sure. So the major change is this was where the townhomes were before, this whole lot. This is lot 9. This is where the podium style, you can see the podium style, just the look of it is in that packet. What that packet is just kind of each product type, and it shows a location of where each product type is. So it kind of gives you a little bit more information about it.
What is the difference between, I should confess, be more up on my terminology, but what is the difference between a podium-style condominium and the townhomes that you previously had?
The garage creates a podium deck.
So the podium style, as opposed to, the difference is that a podium is typically a garage box with and you build on top of the box. Mm-hmm. It could be on grade, but typically they're below grade. Mm-hmm. So it creates a subterranean garage, and then you build units on top, whereas at-grade condominiums, even tuck-under condominiums, are usual smaller building pods, and the garages are separated by the buildings.
So this is totally below ground or partially?
So partially. It'll be about 4 feet below grade at the deepest part of the garage to accommodate the 35-foot maximum height, right, the 3 stories above the mm-hmm. podium deck.
So the plate height of the stories is 8 feet, or what is?
I think we're 9 feet.
9 feet.
Yeah, with 10-3 between floors. Okay.
Right, yeah. That's the semi-subterranean below. Garage, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Do you want to show where the shift, where we increased, so this is the location where we increased the buffer.
Mm-hmm. So where the shift took place was pretty much on this half of the site itself. And what so before you had about 65 feet. If you look at this trail, really the western edge of that trail is the top of bank itself. Mm-hmm. So prior to it, these were all, so what we had to do is we pushed this over, and what it really did is just realign this road over, and you can actually kind of see it. We drew the old property lines in here so you kind of understand where it was before for the road, and that was a shift over. So it really, what we did is we pushed over. There was a little bit more open space here before, and that's really what it took up is some open areas right there that came in, and then so you had a better alignment, and so the road alignment just had to adjust a little bit around the corner itself. And then we came in and put 2 smaller units here just to keep it out. The typical ones for the 2-pack, you can see how they typically look. We adjusted these just so that it would stay with outside of the 100-foot. And then prior, this was a little bit more open space right on this corner, and these just adjusted over. So really, it was just a straight push over. All utility just pushed over right in the road itself, too.
Are there any changes on the rest of the site vis-a-vis the position units?
No.
So the you have a 100-foot setback from the top of bank, a 100-foot buffer, but within that And so, I mean, essentially what that means is within that buffer you will not have buildings.
Correct.
But you would potentially have fencing, I mean, yards, landscaping,
pedestrian
path, swing sets, whatever, but not buildings.
Correct.
So, okay.
We really shifted open space over.
Right. We
actually ended up with a little more open
right.
space.
But are you planning in the podium area to have some sort of individual fencing, or that's just going to be all kind of open space between the pedestrian trail and the buildings, or will there be
currently what it is there is a walkway here to get to the units on the back side,
right.
but then it goes to the slope, and then we're working with flood control right now on that component, but otherwise that's not part
that's
of the podium.
All that you would have in
yeah.
there. And then how about upstream of the Cortona Drive extension? What would happen in that buffer area between the townhomes?
Same type of thing. It's going to be, you know, because you're pulling everything over, we're going to have a new road that comes in here that's
okay.
flood control. But really it's pushed back, and there's a new plan that we're working with flood control in that area. So I don't think my property lines are correct on this one.
Okay.
They pull across right here.
The property lines don't run that far as you're
yeah,
showing.
Yeah, it actually, you see this line right here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we bring that all the way across.
I see.
Like that. So the new road will come down and match into the existing.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I don't know if we brought the exhibit, but Phil is very knowledgeable about the landscaping plan.
I have one question though, before we get to the landscaping. What happens in the middle of the two podium condominium structures, that open space in the middle? What is that?
Well, right now it's they're actually...
Right now they're actually two separate garage structures. We're looking to... looking for any refinements to that, but that would be an open space pathway with some open space lot here for maybe passive park use. So this is courtyard area. This is interior courtyard area where there'll be kind of secluded seating areas and water feature, maybe fireplace somewhere for some, you know, some relaxed casual seating and open space use. So that's part of the open space.
Sorry, did you have more questions?
No.
So this is an enlargement of that riparian,
technically
Tito Creek area, and where the units sort of back up to that, and you can see that it has a combination walking path and flood control access. Thank you, David. My fingers aren't that long. And then north of Cortona, where you were asking about, Member Wignock, is pretty much the same treatment there. And that walking path will be, you know, a soft walking path like decomposed granite. And we'll probably have some pole fences along there just to keep people out of the creek there.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a whole restoration treatment of Tecolotito Creek, which would be nice because it'll complement the other side, which I worked on years ago at Castilian Technical Center. So this kind of is a nice full circle and completes that whole that creek corridor. And then further up north there, where David's hand is an open space, kind of natural lawn area with some walking paths and some viewing points there. Pretty heavily treed, very riparian, good for wildlife corridor.
And the creek itself is running kind of to the northwest.
It
and then you have a branch that comes
right,
up.
Exactly.
And what are you proposing within that? Is that acting as a drainage swale kind of thing, or
not for the site, to my knowledge? That's just going to remain as part of the topography there, and we're going to be enhancing that as well with riparian material.
Riparian grasses type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just the drainage that's actually coming through from the railroad, so
right.
it'll just stay the same.
Right. Okay. So there's really no substantive change in there. It's not receiving site drainage.
You know, I can briefly walk you through site water if you like. There was a couple changes from 2011 in that too.
If you would
but
like,
if,
sure.
if there's more questions here, we can keep going.
I don't know if we have any
further.
We can bring that.
I can bring it back.
Sure.
So 2011, the plans that we had were showing two detention basins, one in this location and one in this location. It was under the requirements of 2011, and they've considerably changed. We've been able to lock this one in under the interim conditions, but what that did is your infiltration rates actually went up. So in the meantime, we've had to add two more. So these will stay detention basins, but we've had added two infiltration basins, which are underground basins that will be covered and everything, but they'll mitigate the infiltration rates itself. And there'll be CDS units as components to those pieces, just because how tight it is, where everything's really draining to your central location, and the access points we're connecting to the existing access points that are already out there today that were built with the Raytheon project, which one is about in this location, it's a connection, existing connection, and the other one, which serves mostly just the commercial lots, is down in this location.
Right.
There's a third that we're not using. It's kind of a open culvert that's out there today. That's just going to collect the surface, but it's not we weren't using it as part of our project itself.
What is
CDS? CDS is like an oil dissipator. So it goes in, it cleans, it gets a lot of your fine oils. We also do have some bioretention and some bioswales out here. But we just felt this could get more bang for your buck of an underground system infiltration itself, because really because it's an open site and you have such a high like a high volume amount of infiltration, a lot of little bioretention really didn't work for this site itself. Like at first we thought about trying to do them on all the fingers, but it just didn't work for how much it was. Mm-hmm. So we ended up going, we had some good open spaces that we thought were good for going underground, like under the basketball court we put one, and under this rec area we put another infiltration.
So it separates out the trash and then separates correct. Out the silt and allows the clean water to
and so oils in that.
So in cross section, are the layers of granular material, or are there
no,
pipes?
They're pipes. They're perforated pipes.
Is it similar to what we have at West Star?
Correct.
Under the parking
correct.
Lot at West Star?
That's really close. Almost the same type of system. These ones are called detention, so really they're actually closed pipes, so they won't have the infiltration. Those are more just for your peak flows to mitigate that. The other ones will be a perforated pipe with a gravel wrap
okay.
pretty much around it. So that's the overall on the drainage itself. Okay.
One of the things that we saw, I guess, in 2012 had to do with the parking, and it's mentioned in Kathy's report that there's been some change in the property lines between the commercial lots, and some additional parking is being provided for them. Is that the way
correct.
I'm reading that?
Yeah. Correct.
But that's not, I mean, their existing drainage system is going to pick up all that, the runoff from it.
It doesn't
create an additional drainage problem by no. adding those additional parking spaces.
No, because how this overall system worked before is actually their storm drain system came up and through the building and actually picked up the majority of this upper area.
Okay.
We're now separating that off and taking it a different direction. So actually, their volumes are actually a lot smaller than what they were before.
I see. And there is some additional landscaping that will go in
correct.
With those in the new parking areas.
I'm sorry, I didn't bring the plan that had been reviewed some time ago.
Yeah, 2012, I think,
yeah.
when Alan Hansen was still on the city staff.
Right.
Had a presentation.
But as Ms. Allen mentioned, there is a slight reduction in the landscape, 0.5%.
Right.
It's really, you know, kind of negligible. We're trying to sort of clean up that landscape a little bit, make more order and sense out of it, because it's a little bit disjunct. But
mm-hmm.
You know, that happens more on the east side of the existing building. So,
right. And then one thing I heard as far as traffic flow, your main entrance is at Calle Corral and Cortona, and then this is going to be a right turn in and right turn out only.
Correct.
No, there's going to be a physical barrier to prevent any.
There's an existing median. That's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so that's going to stay in place.
Correct.
Yeah.
This median will open up to have a turn lane in,
right.
so that'll be part of the improvements right there.
Okay.
And signalization.
And the signalization offers the third or the fourth.
And the entry points for the commercial lots will be the same?
Correct.
So there won't be any change there. And there'll physically be no way for vehicular traffic to go from the commercial lots into the
There's going to actually be a wall. It'll be 6 feet with green screen on the top of
right.
it for the entire length of this to separate the two properties.
Okay. So if someone lives in the village at Los Caneros and works in the commercial areas, they'll be...
They'll have to drive around.
They'll be walking to work. Yes.
Okay. Hopefully they'll walk. They'll ride their bike.
Walk okay. up the creek.
That was a softball question.
What happens as far as noise and such from the railroad and the freeway on the north end of the property?
Well, we engaged an acoustical engineer who's provided us with the studies to determine what mitigations are needed. There's very, very little because the railroad is pretty high up above
okay.
our site in general.
Right.
And we have far enough setbacks. We've got retaining walls and property line walls, and there'll be a standard wall up above by the railroad area. But the further the wall gets away from the building, the less effective it is. So the walls, for the most part, the most of the walls that we already have designed down on the lower sections will accommodate. And because other than the single family, most of them are side loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really as effective because they have solid walls or very little fenestration on that side.
Does the trail connect to an existing trail up on the northwest?
This?
Yeah. Is there?
It's actually a flood control easement, but people do use this. It wraps around, and then it actually connects into the business park. That's actually the way flood control maintenance uses this. That's their main access to come down in this area itself.
The creek goes under a culvert, and there's a pathway by the existing basketball court, half court there, on the Castilian Technical Center side, that they can continue to use that.
So it has connectivity.
Yeah, and a lot of people do use that trail during noon and after work.
Right. Maybe I'll raise this question before Member Sheeler does, but one of the things that we were talking about for other projects was the use of reclaimed water for landscaping. And I'm wondering where possibly you are with that as a consideration.
Reclaimed water is pretty far away from this site. It's at Stork and Hollister itself. So it's in our conditions for the Goleta Water District that, you know, at the time it does get to this point that we have to switch over. But there's no connectivity to this area at this point. And this is actually a pretty isolated area because the water actually comes up Cremona to get into here and then wraps back around.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just did an analysis for this whole area because there is a lot of development over here. And there wasn't any new information about reclaimed.
Yeah. Well, the Goleta Sanitary District can produce presently about 3,000 acre feet per year of reclaimed water, but the demand is only 1,000 acre feet per year. So it just seemed like given the situation that we're in, if ways can be found to use reclaimed water for landscaping for new projects, the supply is available, and it would free up potable water for other uses. So, anyway, any other questions at this point in time?
Yes, I do have some questions, and interestingly enough, they're somewhat aesthetic in nature. And I wasn't here when these projects were seen this multiple times, so I read the minutes, so I appreciate that being provided to hear the kind of discussions that a few of you had previous to this. We've got several new members on the board here. But maybe you can help just answer these questions for me. Some of the comments that were kind of a common thread that came through there was for the project to have a sense of arrival. What have you done? Has anything changed? Do you feel that you've addressed? I have a few more of these. How have you addressed that comment so that I know there's several entrances so that there's a sense of arrival?
I'll try to address that. Our sense of arrival, and it's more from a sales and marketing standpoint, and that's actually one of my other hats I wear in the company, from a sales and marketing, is coming off of this entrance right here. And we feel like what we're going to do to the entrance, how it comes in next to the landscaping, and coming in with this meeting right here is going to give a really good feel of arrival and the site of the project. We say this as our main entrance. This is a secondary access, mm-hmm. and this also could be, but this would be the sense of arrival coming through here with nicely landscaped monumentation coming through here. Then as you come through the project, you have this really amazing center down here, which is the recreational center that comes in. And actually, we plan to, in our development plans, complete the whole loop in our phase one, and we're going to mark it straight out of the middle of the project. So it'll grow out like this, but you'll come in with arrival, and we'll be marketing the project and building out in the directions along the way.
The next comment that was brought up several times had to do with breaking up the uniformity, reducing the regularity of some of the structures, garages, street frontages, alley-loaded homes.
I can address part of this. I wasn't at those previous meetings, but I just know from working on the project and how it's designed, one of the unique features of this project is the fact that it's always curving. And so you've broken up straight lines, you're getting away from grids on this project, and it's basically like a C-shaped, mm-hmm. which is very appealing as you go down the roads. It's also a safety measure, which slows down traffic. But that really helps your street scene. That helps change the diversity of the elevations as you're going in around the project. With regards to product, I don't know how much more product you could put on a project. This project goes from your apartments to your podiums, to your single families, and even within the attached product, we go from a threeplex, fourplex with the carriage unit around the back. That's that unit that you go around the side and you can go up above, and it's a nice, you know, entry-level unit. So, and it sells very well, those units. So we have a very flexible product along different product lines. What I mean by that is in the townhomes, they could be 3 to 7 units going across. And these we've built several times, a lot of this product. And in the townhome product, we give it a very nice appeal and a feel with a patio in the front and a short wall. And so it has its landscaping with a little bit of grass. So it's not feeling like a multifamily wall of units that go straight across mm-hmm. the way. As you can see in the apartments, there are pods of buildings that are broken up so that you don't just have boxes. So we avoid it there. And in the podium, we're working on it even more. This is our podium that we have currently programmed, but we've been working on it even more to break it up a little bit more and so that it stays away from a straight flush front or a box feel to it, to give it that architectural look and appeal that comes from the different definitions of the building.
The very last page, you provide a depiction, which is appreciated of it, I guess, pre-landscaping and post-landscaping. And to me, it really points out the importance of landscaping, because that, for a few moments, will be a highly visible point of view as you travel south on Los Caneros there. And, you know, it does look like there's a lot of, from that bottom picture, a lot of regularity and uniformity from that perspective. So I understand that's kind of the back of house. So it's important that the landscaping, mature landscaping, will help ameliorate that.
That's where the people self-help affordable housing building will be located, mm-hmm. on that corner. And we can look at the landscaping and see the treatments that we've got going on along the top edge of the slope area of the lower railroad tracks, and along that kind of they're working to help enhance and soften the edge of that side of the track.
I mean, we're almost tree to tree on our tree spacing throughout the project. Really, we've got a pretty good canopy of trees, both, you know, fast growing and medium growing trees. So it will take a little bit of time, but I'm confident. You know, having worked on other projects in the city of Goleta that are very similar to this, where you are perched above and you look right down into the project, right. You know, it's like, oh, you know, and now I look at it maybe 8 years later, 10 years later, and I'm impressed with myself.
Another comment referred to color blocking on the three-story elements.
I could try, but our architects who aren't here today did participate in all the previous meetings, and they were really fully aware of the comments and have gone through, and we do have what our latest color board versions are that kind of identify roofs, and you'll be getting those in your packets for the 23rd. Mm-hmm. That show the variations in the colors, and there'll be building variations, changes in lower section versus upper section, as far as some stone treatments, and that really is pretty consistent throughout. All of these are all of our various product types here. We have five product types within the marketing area and then the affordable and the apartments as well. So if you look through the palette, you can see that they continually has a variety of color that kind of balances it through, and will be mixed up on more of a building-by-building basis during the in the pods and footprints of the townhomes. And obviously on the single family and alley load, they will be treated on an individual basis with that respect to changing the variation color.
That's approved by the city, showing the colors we'll be using the elevation, so that it's understood what we're plotting across the line.
Okay. And thank you for letting me do this. I have just one more question, I believe. The project indicates that it will incorporate photovoltaics. I haven't seen any artist renditions or renderings of the roofs with photovoltaics on them. Is that what the plan is?
Yeah, we unfortunately it was supposed to be, I was hoping to get something today, but we're hoping to have it tomorrow. At least at the earliest, you'll have it in your packet when you're for your meeting. We've engaged our solar energy company to provide us with mock-ups and drawings to show the photovoltaics on all of our roofs. We're providing solar for the entire project, where applicable.
We do it at
other projects. Okay. So we'll be bringing that to you as well. So we're, and I think we're, it's part of our treatment with our architecturals.
Thank you.
So we wanted to be able to show you the difference. It'll show the difference in the profiles on the roof, so you can see which is the aesthetic issues that you have on them is how they are treated on the roofs. Any other questions?
Other questions from members?
I don't know if it's a question, but just something that I'm thinking about is that the preliminary approval for the landscaping in 2012 was done at a time when we were in a very different water situation. So I hope that you would take a look at the choices made and just do some preemptive work, and maybe it seems like it was already designed with a restoration bend to it in terms of what you were required to do, and I noticed the use of a lot of native plants and so on. And at the same time, I'll be really looking out for, you know, when I see lawns and things like that, stage 2 drought, you know, eliminating as much of the thirstiest elements of the landscaping. So, yeah, thank you.
Is there any the self-help housing, was there any discussion on the placement of that in terms of the site plan? It seems like a pretty big building to put in a pretty visible corner of the site.
Before my time, I know we had, I think, apartments scheduled on this side. I'm not sure how they decided which one would go where.
You know, I think we could probably answer that better with the architect, but I also think there was some, because this, and I don't know if anybody could, I think Vermont had something to the previous approval, and I think we followed in some of those. I don't know exactly, though.
I recall one of the previous meetings when we were looking at this, that there was some discussion about that, and, you know, about where it's located, so I know the board has been looking at it.
And color blocking on that building, was that discussed?
I think it was.
It would adhere to the rest of the design too. It won't be. It should flow evenly and look evenly with everything else. Look as marketable. No way of telling it's affordable. It'll look just like the market and the rest of the market rate, other than design.
So that may change.
Yeah.
I can look back at the history too, and then just out of necessity.
they're going to be responsible for if you have another comment.
Yeah, just another comment that I would just piggyback on Aaron's comment is just the lower picture without the, obviously, you know, the screening is going to do wonders, but it looks pretty monotone and fairly institutional in terms of it being a big rectangular three-story building. So I think that color blocking, I'm just curious to know if that, because this also might not show the fact that it might.
It doesn't, and we could be conditioned on making sure it does color block. We would require it.
Absolutely.
Just from marketability. It definitely, these other buildings will not all be the same color and tone. You have to mix
what we see is not necessarily how
it's
going to be. Yeah.
This was just more from a view corridor standpoint, right? Is that they were looking at the view corridors, trying to see what was it that was behind it or in front of it, mm-hmm. and it wasn't necessarily aesthetics.
Do you have any further questions or comments?
I'm plumb out of questions. I didn't think we were here for comments.
No, I think it's more just questions. Yeah. And
I'm plumb out of questions.
I did have a question.
And it's more of a process question. So we've asked our questions, and this was informational only. What is the next role for DRB? Ultimately, what are we going to be asked to do?
It'll go back to more of a normal processing. So we'll, on the September 23rd, I'll prepare a staff report, and then for preliminary approval, we'll have a whole list of the findings that the board needs to make dealing with compatibility. I have a list of about 20 things. Mm-hmm. And so we'll run through all of that and do your normal deliberation and comments and requirements that you want in terms of any changes for color or landscaping or any of those items.
And those materials will be available in advance?
Yes, so about a week. We
that'd be good.
Yeah. Well, and earlier if possible, but right. With the change at the city council with doing, you know, shifting that 50 feet. So Robert's been very busy with bringing all the plans and everything up to date and changing a couple of the unit types there too. So as soon as we have that, at the earliest that we have that ready, we'll go ahead and send that out. I'm estimating it'll be about a week before the hearing.
And any kind of visual depictions that are as authentic to what it will really look like as possible are extremely helpful, at least to me, so I appreciate that.
And that's what one of the things I was hoping for out of today's discussion is just to any areas in particular that that would help the board in analyzing this project, to mention that today so that we are able to at least bring it to the hearing, if not sooner, included in the packet.
I mentioned our architects will be present.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of the things I wanted to ask Phil, in the plan that you've submitted, you have some existing trees that are going to remain along Los Caneros Road on the west side. And
right.
One of the things I mentioned in the 2012 meeting, coming down from the overpass around this corner, some of the existing trees kind of screen the intersection and the condition of the traffic signals that are at the intersection.
Sight lines visibility.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So have you looked at that in determining what
not
trees should
that,
remain or
yeah,
should
not that come up closely, but I can certainly do that.
Yeah, that was from public safety standpoint sort of.
There is a turn lane that's going to be proposed for that entrance,
okay.
So that will be pushing it back, and the city typically makes us do line of sight
okay.
at these type of entrances.
So there is a new turn lane that's going to be added?
There will be a right turn, just because of the angle of the curvature on that turn.
Okay, very good. So any other questions? I don't think we have any at this time, so we'll look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks and continuing the discussion.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much.
to get it back.
Oh, okay. You already gave it to me. Let's get. No take back. Okay.
So we have two more items. Item I, well, let me just note that item H on our final calendar, the Hollister Village Plaza revised elevations, that's been continued to September 23rd. And then we'll go to item I, announcements by members. Any announcements by members?
I did have one question of staff. This has to do with the zoning code update and signs, and is there a scheduled presentation for DRB's participation?
Not at this time. Some of the workshop comments are back to the consultant for working into an administrative draft. So at that point, there'll be another schedule for hearing on the administrative draft. We don't have a schedule yet. So I can talk to our advanced planning manager and bring back a potential schedule for your interest, for the DRB's interest, at your next meeting.
That'd be great, thanks.
Okay.
Okay. Any other announcements or questions, comments? Oh. Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.